Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Suji DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Azure Podcast. We are here today on Wednesday, November 4th, recording episode number 353. And we're going to be talking about the new and cool features for WVD that were announced at Ignite. I guess it's probably about a month ago, with Pavithra Thiruvengandam here today. Kendall's here as well. I think everybody else is, you know, maybe recovering from the election. I don't know. You know, all that's still going here in the States. You know, with that, I actually don't think we have any news today, Kendall.
I was looking through some things and it's pretty thin. So yeah, maybe once again, a lot of people are focused on other things maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Well, then this actually works out really well because Pavithra, you were telling me if you could introduce yourself and tell us what you do for Microsoft. And then right before we got in the show, you were talking about some really big news for WVD. So we'll give you like all of our news time. We'll give you for your announcement.
Well, hello, everyone. So I'm Pavithra. I'm a program manager with the Windows Virtual Desktop team. And primarily, I drive scalability, geographical presence, deployment of Windows Virtual Desktop, apart from administrative capabilities that we have as part of the service. And yes, you are right. I mean, we have some big news for our Gov customers specifically. So Windows Virtual Desktop is now available, generally available in Azure Gov. And apart from that, the other big news there is that we are also FedRAMP High certified. So any customer who wants to use it in Azure Gov and who require FedRAMP High certification are completely unblocked. They can start using Windows Virtual Desktop as of today. And, you know, we've gotten customers asking, hey, you know, what is the feature roadmap in Azure Gov, et cetera. And we have a published roadmap for the public version of Azure, Windows Virtual Desktop. And so the only difference is that, you know, within a month of it being available in the public cloud, all these features will be available in Azure Gov. So that's what we are aiming for.
Yeah, that's great news. I know. We have a lot of customers that want to run in Azure Gov. And, you know, one thing that we're trying really hard to do is make sure the clouds are sort of at parity from a feature perspective. So this is a great step to open this up to everybody. Refresh before sort of the new things with WVD, Windows Virtual Desktop. Just give us a brief refresher on what it is and what it helps customers do.
Oh, cool. So Windows Virtual Desktop is, you know, a native offering of Azure and Microsoft that allows customers to virtualize their workloads, Windows workloads specifically. We have been in this field for several years as part of, we had an offering called Remote Desktop Services. We continue to have it as part of Windows Server. And this is the next generation of virtualization that is being offered by Microsoft. What it basically allows customers to do is it allows customers to provide workloads, specifically line of business, applications, secure data access, everything, making sure that they have complete control of the workloads as well as they have complete security on the data access. So they can choose what kind of applications are being offered to their end users. They can choose how they want to provide security over their network and data access. They have complete control of that. We basically just abstract the user access to that backend, which is completely controlled by the customer. We offer both desktop as well as remote application streaming, and hence customers can choose between one or the two. We also support pooled or shared resources as well as personal desktop scenarios. So if customers specifically want to offer personal desktops for their users, they can do so. At the same time, if they want to be able to optimize the usage of Azure resources and have multiple users use the same, you know, resources in the backend, they can do so again, both with Windows Virtual Desktop.
So this is really, you know, our classic remote desktop services just modernized for the cloud at that point. And, you know, obviously some new features and new capabilities. you know, so I think people are probably have seen it in its previous incarnations. What's the news coming out of Ignite for WVD? I mean, we got the, I mean, Gov is a big announcement and FedRAMP's a big announcement. But it, you know, we announced a whole bunch of stuff at Ignite as well.
Right. Yeah. So, at Ignite, we unveiled the, you know, Azure portal. We went GA with Azure portal support, which actually has been, one of the major asks by our customers for the last 1 year from when we went GA with the service. And Azure portal support essentially comes with certain capabilities now that customers can do, which is, using Azure role-based access control for their access control for their admins. They can now use user groups when they are publishing app groups to their end users. They can use, you know, VM scale sets. They can do a bunch of things that Azure offers natively now with WVD. Apart from that, we had a bunch of features that we basically talked about, which are WVD Insights, Start VM on Connect, MSIX App Attach. All of them are still, you know, being worked on. And if you look at our roadmap, you will get to know exactly when these will be landing for preview and GA.
Yeah, we'll have to get you to share the roadmap link so that we can publish that when we publish the show notes. What is
Can I jump in here really quick, Evan?
Yeah, go ahead, Kendall.
Okay, so I have a quick question, and this kind of goes back to the beginning because it sounded like a cool announcement, and I'm sure we'll touch on it later. But did you say FedRAMP, and then did you say a word after it? Did you say hi? Was that what?
Yes, FedRAMP hi. That's the name of the certification.
Yeah, can you touch a little bit on how that differs from just like general FedRAMP? I don't really work in the government space much, so just kind of curious. Sounds like a really cool thing. I'm assuming it just they need even more security. I mean, what does that mean?
I'm not too familiar with the differences between FedRAMP and FedRAMP High, but that is the, you know, certification that customers require from Azure Gov Services specifically. Not every single, you know, government organization requires it, but there are quite a lot of them specifically using Windows Virtual Desktop that specifically ask for FedRAMP High. By the way, we are already certified FedRAMP High on public cloud, so this is just an addition on the Azure Gov cloud.
Okay.
Yeah, Kendall, okay. My understanding as it comes down to is it's like a lot of other certifications. In this case, this is one, you know, that a lot of the government agencies need to do this. And just different government agencies have different levels of this compliance that you need to meet. And the FedRAMP High is that one. I'm not close enough with the compliance to know if there's one sort of past that as well. But FedRAMP High is definitely one that some of the agencies that require, you know, sort of the most secure access their app, like they can't even run their workloads on it.
Right, yeah, that's FedRAMP moderate and that is FedRAMP high. So we generally aim for FedRAMP high because we're automatically, you know, qualified for moderate if we get FedRAMP high.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, and there are other certifications also like IL5, IL6, IL4, etc. We are not yet there with them, but, you know, we will start working on it soon.
Okay.
Yeah, that's actually – oh, sorry. Go ahead, Kendall.
Oh, I was just going to say back to you. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump in. I got a new headset, and it tells me I'm unmuted, but then it shows me that I'm muted. I don't know. Maybe I just need to learn how to use technology or something. So I apologize for the late question coming in.
We're all facing that. Yeah, no, one of the things – what I was going to say is we'll do is this whole compliance thing is – it's a – you know, sort of a meaty topic that a lot of people ask questions on. We may want to put it on our list of things to get on the show. But also there's a page within Azure documentation that we'll put in the show notes that has like all the different compliances that we have, because compliance is a hard thing, you know, and customers have to do all that work. In this case, we're doing it for them.
Right. And, you know, we go through several sprints, several months preparing for this. And, you know, we have a separate team dedicated within Azure for compliance, and they do a great job with it. They guide us. They tell us everything. And so it really makes it easy for us services to, you know, make sure our requirements are met.
So in terms of like more legacy management of on-premises resources for customers, you know, things like System Center Configuration Manager, just like some of these things I've heard when working with people that are more legacy on-premises, that kind of stuff, when a customer, and I guess this is more how, I guess this is my view of WVD, is a lot of customers through COVID, a lot of companies are trying to figure out how can we basically empower employees to have access to things, but still within the confines of like a really secure and safe environment. So like, how do they translate the paradigm of like how they might have managed some of these virtual machines or these physical machines that customers were typically using for their for their workforce. Like, do those concepts translate, or does a lot of that kind of get modernized the same way with like things like Azure Monitor and some of the other offerings to manage VM SKU and you know, permissions and those kind of things?
Yeah, this is actually an awesome thing to talk about. So WVD is an Azure offering, right? We use Azure services, Azure PaaS services, et cetera, et cetera. But if you look at the VM environment, we are the first thing that we decided to do was support Active Directory domain joined VMs. So it's almost as if you're replicating what your on-prem infrastructure is on Azure. So if you are using Windows Server on-prem, you're welcome to, you know, just migrate it directly to Azure, start using it with the exact same tools in the backend, because, you know, SSH CM is supported already on Windows Server. And so, you know, that can be continued to be used. The new thing that we are offering as part of WVD is essentially the Windows 10 multi-session SKU, which is the virtual SKU on top of Windows 10 client. And for that, we started working with Intune, and we announced at Ignite that Intune, or, you know, Microsoft Endpoint Manager, as it's called now, it does support the hybrid Azure Active Directory joined VMs that are part of Windows Virtual Desktop, specifically the Winton Enterprise SKU. And we are working on the Intune or Microsoft Endpoint Manager support for exact same thing with the Winton multi-session SKU. And we are hoping that we will be in preview by the end of this year. So that is one way of dealing with it. If you're looking at Windows Update, you're looking at application management, it continues to be what it was on-prem. So you can use Windows Update for Business if you're using your Windows 10 client SKUs. You can use Azure Update Management Services if you're using Windows Server SKUs. And if you want to use SCCM to roll out any kind of update or, you know, imaging your VMs with new Golden Image, you're welcome to do so. Windows Virtual Desktop also has, you know, GitHub templates that will allow you to, you know, roll out new images on existing VMs. So, yeah, we've got multitude of ways of doing it. If you have a set way that you are doing it on-prem, you can take that and apply it on your Azure VMs, except that some of them might not be supporting the new virtual SKU, which is Windows 10 multi-session. So just keep that in mind. Most of our support for this is documented, so, you know, customers can go take a look at what is supported, what is not.
Yeah, sounds great. You mentioned this earlier, but it just took a second for it to sink in for me. You mentioned that as part of the Ignite stuff now, where WVD supports using VM scale sets, that's got to be a huge jump in terms of provisioning time, because VM scale sets, we've done a lot of work to make sure those provision very, very fast.
So we don't do it natively. So keep in mind that WVD does not support VM scale sets natively. We are exploring it, but there are some, you know, implications.
Oh, maybe I misheard you then. Okay.
No, so I did say that, but the reason I said that was if customers want to do it, they can, because they have complete power to use the Azure Resource Management templates for them to do what they want to.
Oh, right? Got you.
So they
okay.
can customize the way they deploy, the way they use VMs, be it in availability sets or scale sets, or they can customize their deployment templates to add everything that they want from a compute side. Right. That's the beauty of the, you know, a fact that Windows Virtual Desktop now is Azure Resource Manager integrated, that they can use all the goodness of Azure. We don't have to natively support everything in Windows Virtual Desktop, because Azure supports quite a lot of that. And of course, if they have any kind of issues, they're welcome to raise with our team. And, you know, we will definitely take a look at it. We have user voice, which is actually pretty, you know, active, where customers raise a lot of feature requests. And when we do planning, we definitely go take a look at, you know, the highly asked feature requests and make sure that we include that in our planning.
So okay, I'm sort of just churning through what you said, because so basically, if I translate what you talked about, it's as a WVD user, I can deploy these VMs in whatever configuration I want. To WVD, it's just a VM. I mean, I can do, you know, ExpressRoute, VNet, NSGs, anything that I want to do, just the way that I want to set up my VMs, you know, scale sets, whatever. And I just tell WVD, this is a VM. And y'all will manage it from that.
Exactly. Right. So we don't do direct VM management, because we don't have the capability of doing it yet. But we we take care of certain things related to Windows Virtual Desktop, which is user session management, which is the most important thing for us. And then the fact that, you know, is this VM even available for us to do user session load balancing? So these are the two most important things that we care about from the VM perspective. So as long as the VM is in communication with WVD, we don't care what the VM is doing, where it is, et cetera. The only caveat to that is we want to make sure that the VM is an Azure VM. Second thing is that, of course, the operating system on the VM is a supported operating system, which we take care of with the agent that we basically deploy on the VM.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Sorry that, like, you said that, and it just took a little while for that to get through my brain, because that opens up a ton of flexibility. Like, you're not sitting around as a customer. They're not sitting around, oh, well, you know, when will WVD support, you know, the F series SKU or whatever? Like, they just go make them.
I mean, customers have complete control of the VM environment, their virtual network setup, their, you know, peripheral services that they want to hook up these VMs to in Azure. We don't. We have recommendations, obviously, because we want to make sure customers have, like, you know, at least best practices when they set up their environment. But if they're used to, if they are, like, you know, a very advanced Azure customer, then they probably have better knowledge than, you know, what our team is going to tell them. Because each customer has a different security requirement, different networking requirement, different app requirement, and they should be the ones to, you know, decide how they want to set up their environment.
That's a PM answer I've ever heard one. It's not, well, we don't want to go through all the complexity. It's, we're giving you the freedom to do what you want.
Right. And I mean, like, you know, the things that we are working on, for example, are like, you know, how do we make sure that you can update your VMs easily? How that you can make sure that your applications are always up to date? You know, there are some things that, you know, definitely as a service we can offer the customer. And so, for example, MSIX App Attach is the feature that we're working on to make sure customers have flexibility in updating their applications independent of the actual operating system on the VM, right? And, you know, Start VM on Connect is another feature that we're working on where admins can just set some setting on the host pool. And when users are connecting to their personal desktops, the VMs will be started automatically. The customers have to take care of shutting down the VMs, which we, you know, we recommend they do, especially for cost management on Azure. But these are the features that allow customers to not have just flexibility of their environment, but also optimize the management of these in conjunction with Windows Virtual Desktop.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense because, I mean, I'm sure, the cloud as a whole has seen tremendous uptake with COVID impacting the world in the way that it does. But WVD has to be at the center of that, you know, because so many people are trying to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have y'all found that, you know, you've really had to, I suspect that this has accelerated some of the performance work that you guys were doing in terms of management and everything, because there is so much demand for it recently. As you look down the road, is your expectation that you're just going to continue to expand those capabilities and be able to manage more and more machines? That's got to be the way that you're thinking about this.
Yes, we want to provide more administrative capabilities for the customer. At the same time, we want to make sure that as the service expands, not just as a scalability, as number of users, but also the Azure geographies, that we are, you know, having a good performance across all Azure geographies. And lately, you know, we have been making sure that our gateways are available in multiple Azure geographies. Canada and Switzerland are, like, you know, the latest geographies that we made sure our gateways are available. And what this allows is, this allows the customers to have end users connect to WVD with, you know, extremely low latency, thereby increasing the end user performance. Some of the other future things that we're looking at, in fact, which was also unveiled as part of Ignite, is the native monitoring capability called WVD Insights. So the Windows Virtual Desktop Insights allows customers to have a high-level overview of their environment on Azure. They can look at performance of the VMs. They can look at usage of applications or how many users are in every single application, et cetera. So they can easily understand if there are issues with the environment and what the root cause of these issues are. If they need to optimize the VM to user density or, you know, up the VM size, et cetera, they can do that with just our native monitoring capability. So yes, we do have quite a lot of these things in the pipeline, and hopefully we will be able to go preview very soon with these capabilities.
Yeah, the gateway piece is interesting because I had forgotten about that. We were talking earlier about WPD, like the VMs are just the customers, right? They can provision them any way they want. But the gateways are actually a PaaS component that y'all deploy. And so you actually have to deploy that in different regions, and then customers can use those gateways to get to their VMs in those regions. So there is a piece that we are managing for them. And that's the stuff you're talking about continuing to grow.
Right. So use session orchestration is actually one of the biggest things that we do with WBD, as well as load balancing of user sessions across the VMs that customers maintain. Right. So that this is where WBD's value prop is. And we have already got our stamp on multiple geographies because we have a lot of usage across the world. And we want to make sure that customers are using our gateway with the, you know, best possible latency that we can offer. And so when we have presence in every single geography that our customers are coming from, it's almost like a local connection for them, because they are just, you know, connecting to a WBD control plane, which is part of their own geography. They are not going, you know, multiple hops outside their geographies to connect to the VMs that are, again, sitting in the same geography.
Right. It doesn't make sense to go to, you know, the West US if you're connecting to a VM that ultimately is in our, you know, one of our India data centers. Right. You want to go to.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And the other thing they're working on for geographical presence is the metadata storage that we have. You know, at present, we are a global service wherein the service metadata is completely stored in US. But there's a lot of customers who are very worried about data sovereignty because they have their own security guidelines, especially in countries like UK and the rest of Europe. And there's quite a lot of countries in Asia also that, you know, are worried about data sovereignty. And so we are working towards that also, where, you know, WBD will then support metadata storage in specific geographies.
Makes sense. So anything else that you want to, you know, call out specifically? I mean, these are all great advancements, both in terms of the breadth and the breadth of access and the depth of capabilities for WBD. Anything else that you want to mention that we haven't gotten to?
Well, we also make, you know, updates to our clients. That's also, you know, regularly as part of our continuous improvement. We look at feature requests from customers, see how we can make the client usage of the, you know, of WBD clients better for our end users. And one of the things that we have done is that we have added support for multiple users on the same WBD client instance, as well as, you know, support for the same user with multiple endpoints. So if they're using WBD Classic as well as WBD Azure Resource Manager, resources, they can use the same client to connect to both. The other thing that we did as part of the client update is to basically automate the update of the client, since we are constantly pushing out updates. Up until, you know, a couple of weeks ago, the updates were manual. So you will have to either press something saying, hey, I'm going to be updating, or the admin will have to push the update to the end user. But now we do auto update of the client. So it actually takes away at least one or two clicks for, you know, customers to implement the update of our Windows clients.
And this client, this is the piece that's sitting running on my, you know, my phone or my, you know, my laptop or my computer. This is that, so the piece that's sitting locally with me, right? That I'm
right, exactly.
To WPD.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. This is the client using which your end users are going to connect to WBD and their workloads past WBD. And these updates that we made were specifically to the Windows client.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, no, that's great. That certainly takes one less, you know, nothing is more painful than, hey, I'm going to go connect to my, you know, instance. Oh, crap. I have to upgrade before I can go do that. Right. And stop what you're doing and go do this. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Well, Pavitha, this was excellent. Thank you very much for coming on and talking to us about all the advancements in WBD. We're definitely looking forward to, you know, where this service continues to grow over time.
Thank you.
Kendall, any last questions? Oh, sorry, Pavitha.
No, I don't think so. I thought this was super, it's super interesting to learn about. And I know that I have people on my team that work in this space and it's not somewhere I work. And so it's neat, all of the functionality that you all have been able to enable, you know, and what I feel like has probably been a time of such high demand. So just kudos for all the great work.
Thank you so much. And thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks folks.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.